Don't let termites destroy your home.
I'm not really sure how to start this video off.
Good morning!
It's better news at a better time.
Don't drive or operate machinery until you feel fully awake.
Just feels like ever since COVID, everything has gotten a lot more fake. And the censorship, the widespread systematic censorship, has been a huge part of that. But I think a whole other side to that is that they're just pushing AI into everything. AI answers, AI summarization. And they're really trying to get people to not think for themselves anymore, to just replace that with AI.
I'm your conscience. Oh, hi.
And a lot of people are. And it's just getting uncanny valley levels of weird out there.
And turn off that hot water faucet tight.
Conscience, you're tough.
You gotta be tough, Ronald. Saving energy is important.
I mean, we've got a case with irony and strangeness mixed in. I've got a pair of headlines. Misinformation expert used AI to draft testimony containing misinformation about AI. And the other headline, Stanford misinformation expert admits to ChatGPT hallucinations in a court statement.
We should give it to you in your language. We have more bugs per second in the world. You should look for information. We should know what you meant. We should be able to give you the right answer just once. We should know what you meant. You should look for information.
So Stanford professor Jeff Hancock submitted his document as an expert witness.
This isn't just about facts. It's about explaining how facts get buried and who benefits when they do. We stay precise. And we tell the truth like it's been cross-examined 1,000 times.
We're testifying tomorrow, and the court is going to expect clear, evidence-backed explanations.
The goal is not to overwhelm them with jargon, but to make the mechanisms of misinformation understandable and relatable.
I'll walk them through the life cycle of the narrative. How it started on fringe platforms, migrated to mainstream social media, and was amplified by algorithmic engagement.
ChatGPT, can you help?
His expert declaration in a case involving a new Minnesota law that makes it illegal to use AI to mislead voters prior to an election. So it's a law in the state of Minnesota targeting deepfakes. And lawyers challenged it on First Amendment grounds. This took place back in November 2024. And the prosecution, who is challenging the law, noticed the fake citations and petitioned the judge to throw out the declaration. The Stanford professor, Jeff Hancock, admitted to overlooking the, quote, hallucinated citations. In a court declaration he crafted with assistance from ChatGPT, or as people with dyslexia call it, ChatTBG, or BBTB.
Abnormal behaviors may include aggressiveness, agitation, hallucinations, or confusion. Walking, eating, driving, or engaging in other activities while asleep without remembering it the next day. Fall asleep and stay asleep so you can wake up.
You can't wake up if you don't fall asleep.
And if you wake up often in the middle of the night.
Gold gloves.
Side effects may include unpleasant taste, hallucinations, dizziness, and morning drowsiness. Ask your doctor. Well.
Basically, Hancock, who was paid $600 an hour for his so-called expert testimony on the risks of misinformation and disinformation, says he surveyed scholarly literature. Scholarly literature on the risks of deepfake technology and spreading misinformation, and used GPT-4o as well as Google Scholar to research this stuff, but failed to fact check the actual citations generated by the artificial intelligence agent. He says he didn't mean to mislead the court or the counsel, and he's regretful, blah, 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 but he stands by his statement. I think it's more troubling that he probably really didn't mean to introduce a deliberately false citation, but that he just lazily had it be created by AI and didn't even check it. You know, if you read the details of the story, he admits that he typed up basically like a bullet point list of what he wanted to cover and then had ChatGPT turn it into a paragraph. So, you know, he billed taxpayers at an extraordinary rate for paragraphs he didn't even write. But that's beside the point.
Jeez.
In his notes, he put a bracket where he was going to put the citations after he eventually did the work for himself and didn't realize when ChatGPT introduced made up whole cloth fiction, quote, hallucinated citations. I mean, what is a hallucinated citation?
Well, that's the thing. When you and I or someone else tell somebody something that's not true, we call that a lie. But when AI completely fabricates from nothing entire things that just are not real at all, that's just a hallucination. AI's just having a little bad dream for the moment. AI sounds totally schizo, by the way. And we're supposed to trust it, though, even though it's just completely making things up.
We're talking about a paradigm surrounding the misinformation, disinformation, where they basically claim that people aren't entitled to their free speech because it's dangerous and they could mislead things and it could change our democracy. Meanwhile, they've got AI unrestrained making stuff up. And it's just baffling. And, you know, in the Stanford article, they tried to go confront this guy, is what it sounds like, in his communications class, where he's a professor at Stanford. And they found that he wasn't present in the class because he was teaching over Zoom. And instead, they interviewed some of the students in the classroom who I think it appears showed up in person. And they talked to one student who was afraid of academic repercussions and therefore spoke anonymously. So that tells you something. And he commented that it was rather ironic that Hancock in their communications class was going to teach them about citations specifically. Because the class had just started learning about citations given his controversial fabricated AI generation citation incident. Kid is afraid to call out the emperor for his new clothes. Beautiful clothes they are, you know.
How much money do you think they're paying to take a class? Oh, man.
Yeah, so keep that in mind. I think he also had a class on the topic of truth, trust, and technology, and, you know.
Yeah, he also gives a TED Talk called The Future of Lying.
Let me tell you, it has been a fantastic month for deception. We have a high-profile journalist caught for plagiarism, a young superstar writer whose book involves so many made-up quotes that they've pulled it from the shelves. A New York Times expose on fake book reviews. It's been fantastic. Now,
but he apologized, said it wasn't his intention, and then the Attorney General's Office for Minnesota, in turn, said they weren't aware of the fake citations until the opposing lawyers brought them up.
Until you feel fully awake.
To you in your
agitation, hallucinations, or confusion.
Hallucinations in a court statement.
Better news at a better time.
Everything has gotten a lot more fake.
They weren't aware of the fake citations until the opposing lawyers brought them up. And then basically,
because nobody's double checking any of this stuff.
We should be able to give you the right answer just once. We should know what you meant. You should look for information. We should give it exactly right.
Come with me if you want to live.
Destroy your home. Call
yeah, they didn't double check it. And then basically, Jeff Hancock, according to this article, goes on to reassure everyone that it's a widespread practice. A lot of people in the professional world and a lot of experts are using generative AI and not only ChatGPT, but different AI software programs as part of their research and drafting tools, including many academics. Very reassuring. This is not an isolated case. In the New York court system, A couple lawyers were sanctioned for using fake ChatGPT cases in their legal brief. Now, we're talking about a court of law here where people could go to jail. It could impact their lives. They could lose money. It depends what kind of case it is. And they're citing court precedents. In this case, there were six of them.
Wait, you're saying, just to be clear, so everyone gets that, and because I think I'd like to restate it just one more time for effect, you're saying that lawyers have now been caught using ChatGPT or the like to create completely fake court cases to cite in legal briefings?
Yeah, so this is a Reuters report from June 2023. New York lawyers sanctioned for using fake ChatGPT cases in their legal brief. A U.S. judge on Thursday imposed sanctions to two New York lawyers who submitted a legal brief that included six fictitious cases, fictitious case citations generated by an artificial intelligence chatbot. So he fined them $5,000 and said they acted in bad faith. And they responded, "We made a good faith mistake in failing to believe that a piece of technology could be making up cases out of whole cloth."
That's not a good faith mistake. It's what is happening, and people aren't getting it. This thing, these things, this AI, it's not telling people the truth.
Our legal system instructs judges and juries to make decisions based on legal precedent. So if the legal precedent is a hallucinated case citation or a made-up case, I mean, I can't see what could go wrong with that.
The doctor says not to let Charles eat any more dog biscuits.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. That'll be great.
Many kinds of cases could go very wrong based on hallucinated precedents, okay? And they only found it because the opposing lawyers went to look up the cases they cited, couldn't find it, and then they discovered that they weren't real cases. But the AI hallucinated case precedents cited real judges and real lawyers from other cases. And after these lawyers got sanctioned and fined $5,000, they were also required to go track down the judges who were named in the fake case citations, who were real judges.
Whoa, wait.
And they had to warn them that there were fake cases with their real names in them and to make sure that those didn't get mixed up in the whole business.
So AI isn't just making it totally up out of whole cloth. They're citing real, living, actual judges who are practicing on the bench, but citing fake cases under those judges. That's what you're saying?
They're citing cases that judges never heard.
You guys, do you see how this could destroy our legal system, which is based upon, that's how cases are run. You base a lot of arguments legally on prior case precedent. If you're just making stuff up, if you're just using AI and not double checking it, and the AI is making stuff, I'm sorry, hallucinating. This is what I mean. Like, if I just made it up, then I'm a liar. If AI makes it up, AI's just having a little dream there. Like, why are we talking like that? I think that's part of the problem. We're giving this thing an out. We're saying it's just hallucinating a little bit. No, it's lying. It's making stuff completely up. It is Pinocchio of this thing. Like, I don't understand why we're shoving this technology into everything all over the place. And these are the kinds of problems that are happening. And this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning of this.
I mean, they've told us that our whole world is going to be run by this, and they're doing everything they can to discourage the real economy by human brains. I mean, we get it with the organization of people. We've lost our purpose, our agency, in many ways in this society. But now they're basically telling us just to trust an untested technology at the very best.
Oh, it's being tested on us right now.
Yeah.
Whole just thrown out there. I mean, they're putting this in everything. They're putting it in phones. Google put AI features in Gemini phones. It's on Android. It's Chrome. They're doing websites to summarize emails, documents, meetings, YouTube videos, summarization for all the Microsoft Word and PowerPoint and all that stuff. LinkedIn is doing it. Amazon's doing it on reviews. Facebook is summarizing things. Reddit says it's going to start summarizing itself if it hasn't already. They're also using AI to summarize authorize health records and patient visits for medical professionals now? I mean, do we not see how this could go very, very wrong when it starts to be put into everything?
Yeah,
and
I mean,
it's not even getting basic things correct.
The Department of Defense has signed a contract with startup Scale AI to use artificial intelligence for military planning and operations, marking the Pentagon's latest incorporation of emerging tech into its workflows.
Strange game. The only winning move is not to play.
Thunderforge will integrate AI agents into military workflows to make the decision-making process earlier and faster for military leaders.
Come with me if you want to live.
And actually, it just came out. The hallucinations, what they're calling hallucinations for AI, are actually getting worse. So they're trying to bring new reasoning systems to the AI, but its hallucinations are actually not getting better. This just came out last week. It says, last month, an AI bot that handles tech support for Cursor, which is a tool for computer programmers, alerted several customers about a change in company policy. It said they were no longer allowed to use the product on more than one computer. And a bunch of people got really angry. There was a lot of customer complaints and internet message boards and stuff. People were canceling their accounts. And then it turned out that it was an AI bot that just incorrectly announced a policy change that did not exist.
And now, a dramatic AI reenactment of the CEO's Reddit post.
Hey, we have no such policy. You're of course free to use Cursor on multiple machines. Unfortunately, this is an incorrect response from a frontline AI support bot. Apologies about the confusion here.
So OpenAI found that O3, which is its most powerful system, hallucinated 33% of the time during a benchmark test, which involves answering general questions about public figures, which is more than twice the hallucination rate of the previous reasoning system called O1. The new O4 mini system hallucinated at an even higher rate of 48%. Then they did another test called Simple QA, which asked general questions, and the hallucination rates for both O3 and O4 were 51% and 79% respectively, and the first system hallucinated at 44%. So 44% already bad, but now we're going 51%, 79%. I mean, at this rate, the next test will say it's 100% of the time. It's just making stuff up 100% of the time.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
So they're putting AI in charge of things at corporations, and it's making decisions that are pissing off customers and making them cancel being customers with those companies. So that's not great, is it? Not really. I mean, they're talking about putting AI in charge of things like military decision making, medical decisions, educational decisions, corporate decisions that affect everyone who does business with those corporations, and it's hallucinating, quote unquote. If you worked somewhere and you just started taking a bunch of drugs and hallucinating all the time, or you went insane and started having schizophrenic visions all day long or something, they wouldn't just keep promoting you to higher levels of responsibility within the company. But that's what these people are doing right now. It's ridiculous.
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
It says today's AI bots are based on complex mathematical systems that learn their skills by analyzing enormous amounts of digital data. They do not and cannot decide what is true and what is false. They do not and cannot decide what is true and what is false. On one test, the hallucination rates of newer AI systems were as high as 79%. That means it's only accurate 21% of the time, a fifth of the time. 4 out of 5 doctors agree that they're going to take all of the teeth out of your head, but 4 out of 5 doctors use ChatGPT to make that decision. So really, it was wrong. And
what cigarette do you smoke, doctor?
That's insane. And I hear the talk that someday it's all going to be awesome, but you can't argue with these things. They don't have a reasoning system that enables them to understand nuance in a way that you could do that. So there's no coming back from stuff like this. It just is telling people, like, imagine, like, that's like, oh, not a big deal, whatever. But what if it was something that was a big deal and specifically you as a person? This does not seem like it's going to end well. And I feel like I just keep saying that, but it isn't going to end well.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
And they quoted a chief executive of AI tools business in here as saying, despite our best efforts, AI will always hallucinate. That will never go away. So this isn't something that's ever going to not happen, right? People keep saying, oh, it's going to get better. This is all going to get better. It's not getting better. It's never going to get better. They're straight up telling us right now, this is never going to not happen. They might be able to get it lower, but it will always happen forever, period.
I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
But it's also just basic stuff like summarize this email and it gets the time wrong or the location you're supposed to go to wrong or some other thing. That kind of stuff is happening too. And it's training people not to read stuff for themselves and to just trust the AI has read it. But the AI is not reading it 100% correctly. I mean, maybe someday it will, but it's not. Basic stuff is not happening with this. It is getting basic facts wrong. And today, we saw this for ourselves firsthand because all this JFK documents have been dumped like 80. Well, I think it's even more than that now, but initially it was supposed to be 80,000.
Conspiracy theories have abounded that Oswald was actually a CIA agent or informant. Hoover said it's important to have something issued, quote, so we can convince the public that Oswald is the real assassin.
I found a memo that was referencing something called Project Brainwave, which I had never heard of before, ever. After I found that document in the JFK files, I was like, oh, Project Brainwave. And this was dated 20th of February, 1951. So I thought, wow, that's after Bluebird, but pre-Artichoke. I wonder what that's about, right? And it was based out of New York. So I went and I started looking around trying to find anything about Project Brainwave. And I don't know if you guys have lately tried to search for anything with any search engine, just pretty much any search engine. It's like they're broken. It's like they're broken and they don't bring up any information that the way they used to. It's just getting worse and worse.
Yeah, even DuckDuckGo is not as good as it was just a few years ago.
It feels like dead internet theory is totally coming to pass now. I mean, it's not bringing up almost anything if you put it in quotes especially. It just says nothing now. It just says they have literally nothing anywhere. The whole of the internet, nothing. So I went and looked through the FOIA document page on the CIA website to see if there was anything on there. And I did find one memo, which was dated January 1951, that mentions Project Brainwave in quotes. But that was all I could find. And so everywhere else I was looking, I couldn't find any other information on this project. So I thought, well, I'll test out Grok. I'll just see if Grok can find anything. Grok proceeded to hallucinate an entire memo that didn't exist, that was dated September 26, 1951. And all of this quotes about what this project was about. And it was talking about how the project was going to exploit psychological vulnerabilities to cause mental disruption. And these phrases, exploiting psychological vulnerabilities and mental disruption, were put into quotes as if Grok found them in an actual document, which Grok claimed was dated September 26, 1951.
Very specific.
Very specific information, right? But when I pressed Grok on what document that was, could I have a link to that document? Then Grok suddenly started talking about how this was an error. It was conflating. It was inferring things. You know, like, it started saying all this stuff that had nothing to do with these questions. Basically, at the end of it, Grok apologized for the errors. It was all wrong. There was no document dated September 26. I even put in links to the entire CIA FOIA database. And I asked Grok to find a document anywhere in that database that had that date on it. There was no such document, according to Grok. And then Grok said there was no such document at all anywhere
No document.
It just didn't exist. It just didn't. So these quotes of phrases that make it sound like Grok is quoting from a specific document somewhere with a date and everything, none of it exists. None of it was real. It just wasn't. I wasted a lot of time, but it taught me something. It taught me if you don't read things for yourself and go double check it all for yourself, you might be being fed just total bullshit. With the laziness that's inherent in the way this is being set up, I just can't imagine a lot of people who are writing scientific papers, who are these students in classrooms and who have been taught that Wikipedia is okay to use. I just can't imagine they're out there reading and double checking all these things, but they should be, because they should be reading it for themselves, because it might not exist at all.
You know, the JFK assassination is a big watershed event, not only the death of a president, but an event where clearly the public was not told the full truth. They were lied to by the officials, and the documents were hidden for now over 60 years, some of them anyway. And we still haven't gotten the proper truthful explanation. I mean, if you've done your research, you pretty much get the idea, but and sure, whatever Project Brainwave was, it was kind of a side avenue. It wasn't going to tell you who pulled the trigger necessarily, but it was part of the larger Cold War craziness of how deep these different sort of CIA-affiliated avenues went into our foreign policy and how misguided everything got and how secretive government got. And on the day that they finally released some of those documents, on that day, using the new artificial intelligence to try to summarize the mountains of papers that if we printed them out would fill up this room.
Which is what AI is supposed to be good for.
Rather than saying, I'm not really sure, or I just don't have that information, or even I'm not going to tell you, it just proceeds to invent a parallel reality version of it that I guess if you were writing fiction, maybe it would have been plausible as sort of like an allegory or something, but we're dealing with documented facts here. We're trying to find out what we can of the truth based on the documents released, and it's just making stuff up.
Yeah, just, I mean, the document didn't exist, and I couldn't find anything else.
We already have to deal with the occasional congenital liar in our society, but
but the thing
they
is,
they don't run things. Oh, well, I mean, some of them do.
If you look up, a lot of them sadly do. I mean, we did videos on this channel back in the day, and we talked about how people aren't even clicking through, you know, the first 10 links anymore. When they do a search now, they just take whatever's given to them. Well, now that they've added this AI assistant stuff to the top of everything, people aren't even clicking any links. And back like a couple years ago, SEMrush released data saying zero click searches are on the rise, and that 57%, as many as 57% of users on mobile and 53% of users on desktops are now not clicking anything. They don't click an organic or paid result. They just don't click anything at all. And they studied more than 600,000 searches, and they came back with these numbers, which means a couple years ago at this point, more than half of people who are using search now are just taking whatever the AI says to them at the top. Whatever they're given immediately, they don't click anything now. So it's exactly like Eric Schmidt said back in the day, do you get more than one search result? Well, that's a bug.
Help us understand, where's the future of search going?
Well, when you use Google, do you get more than one answer? Of course you do.
Yeah, of course.
Well, that's a bug.
Yeah.
Because we should be able to give you the right answer just once.
These people are just trusting that the AI is telling them. You know, it really is like AI is becoming the new God for some people, because they really just have faith in it, they believe in it, and they trust it. And whatever it tells them, they just believe. And they're replacing their own thought processes with that.
Well, I mean, we just lived through a period where certain newspaper articles literally tried to tell us not to do our own research and to trust the experts, only to in turn find that another turtle down, the so-called experts are relying upon AI-derived information, some of which is so false that it's hallucinated.
It's a lies.
Yes.
It's just lies.
It's all based on lies.
If they would just tell people AI is lying to you, but they're not going to say that because that's not a very, that doesn't look good as a slick sales package to tell people. That's why they got to say, well, it hallucinated a little bit. AI took LSD, okay?
But they've clearly been getting us ready to be dependent on this, and they're transforming things in ways that we won't understand for years. But our personal lives, the work that we do has been upended by these misinformation policies.
The original promise of the internet was that it might democratize the exchange of information globally. A free internet would overwhelm all attempts to control information flow, its very existence a threat to anti-democratic forms of government everywhere. What we found in the files was a sweeping effort to reverse that promise and use machine learning and other tools to turn the internet into an instrument of censorship and social control. Unfortunately, our own government appears to be playing a lead role, making lists of people whose opinions, beliefs, associations, or sympathies are deemed misinformation, disinformation, or malinformation. That last term is just a euphemism for true but inconvenient.
And we try really hard, okay? Of course we make mistakes. But every single video we do, it's quite evident what we're basing it upon. And in our really serious works, Minds of Men and the other documentary that's upcoming, we cited our sources, hundreds of them.
We have hundreds this time.
And we really tried to study it and get as close to the truth as possible. Not to say that everyone will agree with our conclusions, not to say we didn't make mistakes, but we didn't wholesale make things up, you know? But we're supposed to trust a system that is doing that. And on what basis is AI doing? I mean,
they don't know. A lot of the behaviors that AI is engaging in, they don't even understand why. Because they're training it on deep learning models to think like us. And they don't understand fully how we think. They're trying to take how we think and turn it into like a mathematical computation. But that's not all there is to us. We are not just math. We're not just numbers. We're not robots. We're not machines. And that's not all there is. And so it's the hubris of it is what really blows my mind. We have had so many years of warnings in science fiction about why this is not a good idea. And it's just, I mean, an overwhelming number. Because we have stories coming out everywhere of young coders are using AI for everything and giving blank stares when they're asked how programs actually work. We're going to pay for this later, you know, and people are posting about how the AI situation is hitting a crisis in the universities where they teach because students are calling each other out in class discussions for using AI and don't want to respond to peers' AI generated work. And you have school districts using ChatGPT to help remove library books. In Iowa, for example, they passed a law in the 2023-2024 academic year for removing all the books that had, quote, descriptions or visual depictions of a sex act. And the superintendent of curriculum for one of the school districts in Iowa said, frankly, we have more important things to do than spend a lot of time trying to figure out how to protect kids from books. This is a quote in Popular Science. And at the same time, we have a legal and ethical obligation to comply with this law. So our goal here is a really defensible process. And that process is going to be to use ChatGPT to tell them what books to remove from the shelves. So the administrators were asking ChatGPT, does this book contain a depiction or description of a sex act? And if the answer was yes from ChatGPT, they're going to remove the book from circulation and not allow kids to check it out in the high school. But the thing about that is you could put one book into ChatGPT multiple times and get different answers every time on whether or not it does or does not have that depiction, A. And B, you're removing books like 1984 has depictions of a sex act. Should high schoolers have access to George Orwell's novel, which is basically an instruction manual being used by authoritarian psychos on
and
how to run our
a
society
staple
right
of schools
now?
Everywhere. It's been a staple of schools for several generations now.
I mean, this is what I'm saying.
It was one of the most important books that I read in school.
So that's me going off on a whole different tangent about whether or not that law is worded properly. It's worded so vaguely, it could be applied in so many different ways. It just feels like on every avenue we are destroying something very important here.
The real issue here is not only the age-old problem of censorship of school books, but AI making the judgments and us having no idea if the AI is basing it on reality, if it's actually read the text, what it's basing it on.
We don't know.
Whether its judgments are qualitative. I mean, there's no one watching the Watchers at that level, at least not at this stage.
There isn't.
And they're throwing everything else under the bus. And meanwhile, you know, deep diving on information, really researching to try to understand it, is increasingly penalized. If we spend a lot of time really trying to study our subject, we're dead in the water, basically.
We haven't put up enough content in a certain amount of time, and so everything just starts to fall apart.
Yeah, they're trying to – the whole system –
like you just have to churn out the something as quick as possible.
Yeah, content as fast as possible. And that's going to create an understanding that is less than an inch deep. And then we'll just be perfectly poised for the AI takeover. And our court cases could be made up on
– totally made up. Oh, no. Hey, there's an AI candidate who ran for UK Parliament. There was a guy in Wyoming in the last election who was saying if people voted for him, he would have a customized ChatGPT bot be the mayor. Of course, they said no, they did not vote for it yet, but they're already trying is the point that I'm making. So you'll have an AI customized ChatGPT hallucinator being your freaking mayor or possibly in your freaking parliament or your government. It's insane. This is insane. You know, if you replace your thought processes with this thing, you are actually replacing something that is better than this thing. And also, it can't do what you can do in your brain. You have all the information you have in your mind. And when you read something yourself, you are triggering off other data points in your brain that's creating almost like a map or a pattern of all these things that connect and how they connect. There's all kind of stuff that's going on. But when ChatGPT does that, it's connecting to what? I mean, yes, lots of information's been fed into ChatGPT. Also, lots of bad programming from very biased programmers, and also lots of crap like Reddit threads and stuff like that. So it's not doing the same thing that your brain is doing when you come into contact with that information. Well, I'm not saying this couldn't be used as a tool to help you get more information, but if the idea here is to not do reading yourself because AI is just going to summarize everything for you, you're going to be living in a false reality pretty fast.
At last came that great day when the swindlers delivered the emperor's new clothes.
I'm draping the robe now, your majesty. Light as spider silk, isn't it? One would almost think he had nothing on, but that's what makes these garments so fine. They give you complete freedom of movement.
I mean, if you remove the brain of an individual person who can think, if you do it at a cultural-wide society level, it's cultural lobotomy. You know, we're removing our brains and turning it over to a technology that we don't understand and that we are misunderstanding as being equivalent and then superior to human thinking when it's just something quite different. And, I mean, we may as well invite ourselves to bring our own torches to the next Library of Alexandria because that's what we're doing to our understanding, to our history.
The context, to nuance. After what I did today, looking at it, just playing around with it, asking it about these documents, it just really dawned on me, like, you have to read things for yourself. You have to. I get that it's really alluring for people who feel like there's just so much information and we're just so busy and we don't have time. But if you don't read it for yourself, you don't actually know what it says. You don't. You just don't. And if you get used to that and you do it for too long, you're going to have a hard time using your own brain again when you try. And who knows what you'll think in your mind. I mean, there's the real misinformation. I think it's hilarious irony. I mean, not funny, haha, more like funny, holy shit, that guy is a misinformation expert. And he just expertly showed everyone the real danger of misinformation. It's not just the misusing of a term to try to shut down narratives that go against the official one. It's this right here. I mean, our case law and all that stuff, health records, people's health, they're trying to tell people use it for your health. Use, you know, let it summarize your medical, you know, records and stuff. Oh, my God. You could see how bad this could be.
Yeah, I mean, they've already studied the use of GPS, you know, with driving. And basically, your mental activity is much lower than it would be. Your memory is not as good when you rely on GPS than if you try to memorize routes and stuff. I believe they studied some cab drivers and stuff, and they had a lot more mental activity going on because they were actually using their own memory to try to navigate, you know, areas that they frequent. It's one thing if you're new to the area, but if you don't use your own brain, you're going to lose it.
If you don't use it, you lose it. And if everybody loses it, then where the hell even are we? Anyways, love you guys. Talk to you soon.
Here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs in the square holes, the ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules, and they have no respect for the status quo. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them. About the only thing you can't do is ignore them. Because they change things. They push the human race forward. And while some may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius. Because the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do.
Here's to the normies, the emulators, the conformists, the people who wouldn't be able to make trouble if AI generated them an easy-to-follow trouble recipe in bulleted list format at a third-grade reading level, the round pegs oh so comfortably smushed into round holes, those who can't see anything unless they're told to. They're good at following rules, no matter how nonsensical those rules are. They are the status quo. You can't quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them. They're perpetual victims who will get offended, like really offended. They're literally shaking. About the only thing you can do is try to ignore them because they will never change a damn thing. They don't invent. They don't create. They don't have an inner monologue. They only care about the current thing. And that's only because they were told to. They hold the human race back. But don't tell them that. They're still literally shaking. When they stare at a blank canvas, they see a soulless pile of AI-generated Ghibli slop. If they ever find themselves sitting in silence, they immediately fill it with mainstream talking points. When they gaze at something, they have to check whether or not the identity the media fed them wholesale has an opinion about it they can adopt. We make tools for these kind of people. While some see them as the body-snatched hive mind zombie Borg which will suck humanity into a neo-dark ages, we see marks to control and profit to be made. Because the people who are dumb enough to try and uphold the status quo at this point are basically a cross between a zoo animal and a battery to us. And harvesting human energy keeps this matrix fed, baby.
Anything that could be a further...